All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I brought along with me the Falcoholic Podcast co-host, Gina Thomas, David Walker, a.k.a. DW. We're going to be talking about the Falcons' year-end awards, giving away MVP, all that type of stuff on today's episode.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team. Every day.
So, guys, welcome to the show. You are invading this podcast. This is, I guess now I can say this is the official podcast of whatever we want it to be because you guys are here.
Sounds good. Yeah. How are you doing, Aaron?
I'm doing great. How are you doing this evening, Gina?
I'm doing great.
So, how are you doing this evening, DW?
Oh, other than fighting a cold, I am fantastic fighting with the Falcons fans online on whether Matt Ryan will get paid.
Yeah, that's always a fun conversation a year after it's already been decided.
Right.
You know, Matt Ryan is a bust. I understand why this raises some questions.
All right, let's jump into these year-end awards. Let's talk about various awards that we've come up with. I came up with a bunch of them. They've been past awards that my former co-host, Alan Sterk, some of them came up with in past years. Some of them are new categories suggested by the listeners. But we'll jump right in with the old, tried and true, most valuable player. For me, it's Julio Jones. I was trying to sit here and try to find a reason not to give it to Julio Jones. I couldn't come up with one. Maybe you guys have different take on that. So who, Gina, I'll start with you. Who's your MVP?
You know, I could certainly go with Julio. On defense, you know, I think that gets a little bit trickier. I would go somebody like, I guess we're going to do defensive player of the year. Why don't I save it? I'll just save it. If you're just looking at the value that they bring to the team and the pure talent and what they contribute, you know, I think that it was kind of a down year for Julio, but I think he's still one of the top players in the league, not just top receivers in the league. I think he's one of the most talented players in the league. And so in that context, I think that he is certainly the most valuable.
All right, DW, where are you weighing on this?
A little bit different. I'm going to go with Matt Ryan. I felt like even though his stats were down, I actually feel like he did more this year for the offense. And, you know, again, it wasn't a high scoring offense like it was, but I feel like the challenges he had to face this year, he still played at a really high level. His accuracy, especially in the turnover worthy throws, I felt like he was maybe even a better decision maker this year than 2016. I didn't see nearly as many "what was that" throws from him. So he's my choice, although, you know, I can't argue with Julio. He's certainly a very close second in my book.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to Offensive Player of the Year. Slightly different. I guess, you know, if you gave it to MVP to an offensive player, then maybe you decide to give it to that same player. Maybe you decide to give it to a different player who probably would have been your runner-up for MVP. For me, Offensive Player of the Year, I went with Devontae Freeman just because I thought he was the most consistent offensive player week to week this year, consistently good. You could probably make a case that Matt Ryan was one of the most consistent, but not always his best performance, at least certainly relative to what we've seen in past years. So I went with Devontae just because I thought he was really strong throughout the season, then had the injury that sort of, got him a little bit off track. But I'll give Devontae a lot of credit there. DW, who you got?
I went with Julio Jones. I think he is still the center point of this offense, even if he didn't rack up the touchdowns like we would like. He is still, you know, the key cog. You know, he pulls defense players away and he opens up stuff for other guys on the offense. So I still think it has to be Julio in my book.
Gina?
Aaron, you and I are fond of saying that when we agree on something, we're probably right.
There you go.
And I'm going to have to go with Devontae, too, and for all the same reasons that you said. Plus, I just love the way that he plays the game. I mean, Devontae doesn't know how to take a playoff. You know, he might whip on a block here and there. I know that that's the first thing that people are going to say when they hear what I just said. It happens. but it's not because he isn't putting the effort in. You know, he's one of the hardest working players on the team. He takes it so seriously. He loves what he does. He loves his team. He loves his teammates. And so I love just everything about the way he approaches the game. And I do think he was the most consistent player when he was on the field.
All right, switching sides to Defensive Player of the Year. I'll let you guys go first, and I'll throw mine. DW, who you got?
For me, I thought it was pretty easy, and I'm going with Deion Jones. You know, based on particularly his play in the back half of the season, I felt like he was a little bit inconsistent to start the year off. Not bad, but, you know, not nearly as good as he was to finish it. You know, he finished number one coverage linebacker by PFF, if you put any weight into those rankings. And I think it was legitimate. But he also got better as a tackler as the season went on. So I really feel like he was the standout defensive player for the Falcons.
Gina, who you have?
So this one could have gone one of several ways for me. Deion Jones is certainly one that I considered, and I think that all of David's points are very valid. You know, Keanu Neal is another guy that I thought about. I mean, I just love the way that he plays the game. But honestly, and this is, I love the season that Adrian Claiborne had this year. And so I'm going to go with Clay. And I'm going to go with Claiborne not just because of what he did on the field, which I think was very important, but he is such an important veteran presence in that locker room. And the guys, his teammates respect him so much. Yeah, I'm going to go with Clay. And I'm going to go with Clay based largely on that performance against the Cowboys, which was glorious and amazing. But yeah, I'm going to go with Clay.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of those awards where you could go with probably four or five people and make mm-hmm. a pretty solid case. I'm going to go with Keanu Neal for the same reasons I went with Devontae Freeman. I thought Keanu was the most consistent player from week one to week 19 or whenever the Falcons season wrapped up. And I thought, you know, while Grady Jarrett, I think, was probably better in the early part of the season and Deion Jones was better in the later part of the season, I always thought Keanu Neal was consistently at worst number two on that list, and you know, in various times throughout the season was number one on the list. So I'm gonna give him the credit for consistency. He was consistently my man crush Monday after every Falcon game. So Keanu Neal's my Defensive Player of the Year. Okay, we're chugging right along. Rookie of the Year. I think I would be surprised if there's a discerning vote in this one, but Gina, let's start off with you.
Well, I'm going to go with, and I would have probably gone in a different direction at the beginning of the season. It took him a little while to get going, but toward the end there, Tack McKinley really made some impact plays. I think we saw him get a lot more consistent. Also, Tack is like a Hall of Famer at Twitter, like throwing shade, and on the internet in general, like throwing shade at Julio Jones and Instagram comments, like, boy, why you got all that Vaseline on your face? He is just hilarious. And so, yeah, I got to go with Tack.
DW, who you got?
Sean Harlow.
Okay.
No, it's got to be Tack. I made a comment at the end of the season that I think Tack right now is maybe already a better pass rusher than Vic Beasley. And I'm going to stand by that. I think what I saw from him was a little bit more diversity really, really excited about his second year.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Tack came in, really sort of surprised me in a lot of ways. And I, you know, when we drafted him and he was dealing with the shoulder injury, my expectation was like, yeah, he'll be okay. But like, people are hyping him up a little bit too much. But then when he came back in the preseason and really had those two really strong games, then I started to buy into it. And of course, there's, you know, none of the other Falcons rookies really sort of stood out in a major way comparative to Tack. So it's a no-brainer to give it to Tack. But that doesn't in any way diminish the type of season he had. As you guys said, he had an excellent rookie season. And, you know, the future is very bright for him. All right, let's talk about the best offseason pickup. I imagine you could give this to Tack, or you might give it to somebody that the Falcons picked up in free agency. I'll start things off. I think I'll go with the obvious non-Tack answer. For me, it's Dontari Poe. While I don't think Poe had quite the monster season I was hoping he would have, and single-handedly transform our defensive line into something like we saw with the Giants last year when they got Damon Harrison, I do think Poe had a very good season and certainly had a lot of impact plays, both as a pass rusher and a run defender, and was a very good running mate for Grady Jarrett. And we'll see if he comes back this year. You know, there's part of me that wants him to come back, and there's a part of me that hopes the Falcons can do better. But, you know, that's always that part that's always hoping the Falcons can do better has been the part of me that has existed throughout time immemorial. But, you know.
What, Aaron? Are you serious? Is this a thing that ever comes up? Like, do you ever mention that you think that the Falcons can do better?
Well, you know, it's a weird thing, Gina, because there's this this history of the Falcons is always letting me down for some reason. I don't know what it is. But.
That's a fair point.
That's fair.
Gina, who do you got for best offseason pickup?
You know, I could certainly go with Poe. I think that he was a good acquisition. And I think, like you, like what I wanted him out there as, like, you know, as a tight end of those jumbo sets and like throwing touchdown passes to him. Like, I wanted them to do some of the stuff that they did with him in Kansas City. We didn't really see a lot of that, which was sad, but that's not his fault. But I'm going to go attack again for one reason alone, and that's we get to enjoy him for the next several years. And, you know, I don't know what Poe's future is with this team, but Tack is going to be here for the foreseeable future. And so I'm really excited to see him develop. So, yeah, I think that I'm going to go with Tack just because of the longevity there.
TW.
I'm with you, Dontari Poe. I felt like he was, you know, a good running mate. I was going to go sort of oddball and say a Tyba Rubin. but he wasn't really a big factor. I did like the signing at the time, but obviously, you know, I think you have to go with someone who actually made an impact. And given what they asked Poe to do, drop weight, be a little bit more diverse as far as, you know, not just being a gap plugger, I felt like he did, you know, fairly well for that. And if they found a way to keep him for a decent price, I would not complain about it.
Definitely. Yeah, we'll see what happens with Poe, but it's certainly like, I think that's the interesting thing about Poe, because it seems like everybody universally had these exceedingly high expectations on him, and it wasn't that he was bad this year, it was just like he just didn't meet these ridiculous expectations that we all sort of put out there. But, you know, what would it be in the world that the Falcons ever lived up to our expectations? Let's move on to top backup. For me, I went with Tevin Coleman. This was a tough one for me to try to figure out who's the best backup on the team. And part of it was like I didn't want to pick a defensive lineman because it's like technically is Brooks Reed a backup even though he started 14 games this year or, you know, that type of thing. So I just went with the easy choice. I thought Tevin Coleman, he's running back 2 or 1B or whatever you want to call him. So he was the choice for me. DW, who do you got?
I went the same direction. I'm almost hesitant to call him a backup since he's gotten, you know, so many snaps. But I think when you look at the talent level, he could easily be a starter on many teams. And, you know, honestly, you look at the game against Philadelphia, and he was crushing it in the first half until the Falcons randomly decided to stop handing him the ball in the second half. So, you know, for whatever reason, I don't know. But, yeah, I think Tevin is the clear choice for me.
Gina.
I'm not going to lie. I was going to go with Levine Toilolo mainly just to piss everybody off. But that's also because I didn't really think of Tevin as a backup. But now that you guys mention it, I think that Tevin is really the only answer because Tevin is good enough to be a starter. And so I think that that's, like I said, I mean, I just don't even think of him that way. And it is kind of the same quandary as the defensive line, as heavy as that rotation is. You know, Tevin certainly gets a heavy workload for a backup, but he technically is a backup. I mean, Devontae is RB1, so I'm going with Tevin too. And just his value, both on the ground and as a receiver out of the backfield, he is just, he is good enough to be a starter on most other teams in this league. And so, yeah, I think that he is the clear answer.
All right, we got a couple more awards, but I want to pause for a moment to talk about the Super Bowl. Hey guys, the big game is here and it's time to cash in big and bet the game at mybookie.ag. If you haven't checked them out yet, this is the perfect weekend to get into the action. Maybe you have a hunch on who's going to win the coin toss or what color Gatorade the winning coach will be wearing at the end. So log on now, check out the props and get in on the action. Don't just watch the game, lay down some money and be part of it. by joining me and thousands of other online players and start betting at mybookie.ag. MyBookie is the industry-leading online sports book, and its players enjoy the fastest payouts in the business when they win. I would only recommend a service that's been good to me and our listeners. That's why I urge you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay, without any hassles. You're wasting your time betting anywhere else. They even have in-game live betting so you can place a bet after kickoff. So if, you know, I don't know, if a team is down 28-3 in the third quarter and you were to, say, bet on them coming back, you could make a boatload of cash. I don't know. Maybe that, should I not have said that? Should I let that go? But join now. Score free cash to place your Super Bowl wager on the house. Right now, MyBookie is giving away up to $1,000 to every new player. Sign up today and score an instant 50% bonus on your first deposit. That's right. If you join with $100, you get a $150 bankroll to play with. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate that offer. Play, win, and get paid. Okay, let's move on further and let's talk about the most improved player. Gina, who do you have for this one?
You know, I could have gone a couple of different ways with this. You know, I think on one hand, I guess what kind of tripped me up with this was looking at guys who improved from last year to this year or guys who improved over the course of this year. Because, you know, I think over the course of this year, the guy whose development surprised me the most was Les Schweitzer. And I assume that that counts as, you know, developing from last year, this year, because he didn't really play last year. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Les Schweitzer. I think that he developed into a pretty decent quality starting guard. And that's certainly a need. And I was pleased with his play, especially after the first couple of games of the season. So other than him, you know, Tack is the other one, I think, who really we saw big strides forward over the course of the year. So I guess that those would be, you know, that would be one on each side of the ball.
Okay. DW, who you got?
I think he started off with a bang and maybe slowed down as the season went, but I still feel like year two for him was a huge leap over year one, and that's Devondre Campbell. I think he started the season really, really well. I think he tapered off in the back half of the season, but I still think where he landed was far better than where he was in his rookie year. So, you know, you can make a case for several guys. I think you can make a case even for, you know, Deion Jones, who I think improved dramatically, you know, from year one to year two. But I'm going to stick with Campbell.
Okay. It's a wise choice. I went with Grady Jarrett. I thought Grady Jarrett had a good year last year, but I think he sort of tapered off in the second half of the season and, you know, had maybe like a first six or seven games really where he played well in 2016. And then, of course, you know, lit up the Super Bowl. But between that period of time, not a whole lot to go on. And I think this year he took his levels to new heights. Even his best performance a year ago was exceeded by his best performances this year. And I think he was a much more consistent impact player, particularly during the middle portion of the season when the Falcons weren't at their best. But he was playing some of his best football. So he was the most improved player for me. He was a guy that I think you also would have put in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. And so the fact that he went from a guy that was good last year to a guy that was arguably the best player in the defense, I think is a big improvement for him. All right, next one goes to most surprising player. I gave this one a little bit away when I talked about him for the Rookie of the Year, but I went with Tack because I sort of went into the season with very low expectations. Again, those expectations were raised a little bit because of how well he played in the preseason. But at the same time, like there was a reality for me that like Tack McKinley had like six tackles and one sack this season as a rookie just because of the shoulder injury and being limited reps and being so raw as a player. And for him to come out and almost lead the team in sacks, to really be arguably our best pass rusher over the last 4 to 6 games of the season was really surprising for me. So Tack was my choice for most surprising player. DW, who do you have?
I am going with a surprising name here, and that is Brooks Reed. I had written him off this year. I thought he would be a potential cap casualty, and he ended up being one of our better run defenders, even though he didn't play a ton of snaps, but that spin move. I don't know where that spin move came from. I think that time with Dwight Freeney benefited him more than it did Beasley, but I want more Brooks Reed spin moves.
There you go. Gina.
I'm going to go in a different direction, and mine is going to be most surprising in a bad way, and that's going to be Taylor Gabriel. And I love Taylor Gabriel. I love him as a person. I think that he is a delightful young man. He just was such a big factor in Shanahan's offense, and I think that what we've learned is that either Sark doesn't know how to use him or Shanahan just really knows how to use him. And so, you know, maybe I just don't think he'll be here next year, but I think that that was my biggest surprise after he just came out of nowhere, after being cut by the Browns and came out of nowhere and was such a big part of that Super Bowl run last season. I was really actually sad that he was such a non-factor this year. And so I think that that was the most surprising player, but not in a good way. Wow, it's like I'm Aaron today, like bringing everybody down.
Well, we're going to get to most overrated player. And so Alan had taken that category out because he didn't want to be too negative, but now I had to insert that back in there because we got to have our negativity on this podcast now that I'm here.
It's objectivity in this case, I think. Okay. Objectivity.
Well, before we get to overrated, we will talk about who is the most underrated player on the team. And I will go first, and I will pick the guy that I've been defending vociferously, if that's a word, these last couple of weeks because I think he's gotten a bad rap. And that is Austin Hooper. I feel like Austin Hooper is very underrated by a great majority of our fan base who thinks he stinks. And I don't think that's the case at all. I think the opposite is true. I think he's a very good tight end. He may not be, you know, the next Tony Gonzalez or anything like that, but who is? And I think Austin Hooper is very, very underrated at this point in his career. Gina.
I think that's fair. I think that that's fair. Hooper's not going to be my choice, but I will say this. I think that Hooper's baseline is probably closer to what he did against the Lions than what, like, the mistakes that he made in some other games. And I think that with another offseason with Sark, I think we'll see him settle in. I don't think we'll see as big of a step forward for this offense next year as we did from Shanahan's year one to year two, because I think Shanahan is just kind of an offensive genius, but I do think that we will see Hooper take a step forward, you know, just with another season to acclimate. I think the timing of Shanahan leaving was very bad for his development. Let's see, the most underrated player. I love the offensive line. And so I'm going to go with probably Alex Mack. I mean, I think that fans probably appreciate him enough, but I don't know that anybody really has a handle on what a difference having an all-pro, like perpetual all-pro caliber guy anchoring your line, what a difference that makes. And so the difference was really noticeable from 2015 to 2016. And then I think, you know, this year it wasn't as consistent on offense, and so people kind of took it for granted. This offense would have been a disaster without Alex Mack in there. And so, you know, I'm going to go with, you know, I think the offensive line, especially when they're good, if they're playing well, you don't really notice them. And so I think those guys are often underrated. I'm going to go with Alex Mack.
TW.
I love the Austin Hooper pick because I agree with you. I think people don't have perspective on how long it takes tight ends to develop in the league. They expect a rookie to be an all-pro this first year. But I had two names. It's hard for me to pick, so I'm just going to list both of them because I think Falcons fans consistently hate on these two guys. And the first one is Ricardo Allen, who had a fantastic season, actually. And he was asked to do a lot of things. And there was a stretch where he was literally having to slide into and play slot corner when we had, you know, a pileup of injuries, and played well. Key point of the defense in the backfield. So I love Ricardo. I love what he does. I think Falcons fans that hate on him can go pound sand. The other name is Jake Matthews. I think there's a lot of people that will cherry pick his one or two bad plays that he may have, you know, in the two or three game stretch. And I think there's not a good perspective on how bad offensive tackle play is league-wide. It is very exceedingly difficult to find a Tyron Smith in the draft. You know, those guys don't come around every year, and I think that's what people expected of him. I think it started his rookie year when people were calling him the next Joe Thomas, which was just garbage. But I think he is, you know, a very good left tackle and has been getting better each year he's been in the league.
Very good. All right. Good picks there, DW and Gina. Let's go to overrated. And I'll start off the negativity train because that's what I like to do. My overrated player is this is tough. I feel bad even saying it. I'm going to go with Devondre Campbell, not in the sense that I think he's a bad player, but I think, you know, if I was to ask people, like, do you think Devondre Campbell is one of the four or five best players on the Falcons defense? I think for a good portion of the season, maybe not necessarily today, but for a good portion, people would have said, yeah. And it's, you know, I think it's also a testament to the Falcons defense that Devondre Campbell, I don't think, is one of the top four or five players on the defense. I think he's probably like in the 8 or 9 range. But I think that's also a testament to how many quality players the Falcons now have on defense, which is something I have not said about a Falcons defense probably in my entire lifetime.
Amen.
It feels good, doesn't it?
It does. So, like, when I say Devondre Campbell's overrated, it's not that he's a bad player. It's just there was a portion where, you know, I think people would have probably said, oh, yeah, he's a Pro Bowl linebacker. And I'd be like, no, not really. But it was hard to pick somebody, and so I was trying to find somebody else to pick other than Devondre, and I couldn't come up with somebody. So maybe you guys have better picks.
This one is actually really hard. I am going to go with something that is just going to make Aaron mad. I'm going to say Jaylen Collins. Because everybody freaked out when the Falcons cut him, and I was like, bye. And everyone was like, what is wrong with you? The Falcons need him. I'm like, no, they don't. And then they're like, he was a second-round pick. I'm like, who cares? He's been suspended most of the time that he's been in the league. This is outrageous. That's who I'm going to go with. He's not even on the dang team. But that's who I'm going to go with mainly because I like to ruffle Aaron's feathers a little bit.
There you go. DW, who got?
Taylor Gabriel. I think we saw this year that, you know, you saw Julio, Sanu, Freeman, those guys, you know, still consistently develop or produce plays, you know, put up numbers. I think Gabriel benefited largely from fantastic scheming from Shanahan. And I think, you know, we saw that when Gabriel's weaknesses aren't schemed around, he becomes an insignificant player. So I don't think it's that Sark didn't want to use him. I think that he didn't know how to scheme around his weaknesses as well, and I think those got exposed this year.
Fair enough. Gabriel was a player I did think of, but then I was like, well, it's probably Steve Sarkisian I should actually give the award to, not necessarily Taylor Gabriel. But
you know, I think that's fair,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
I do, too. And I didn't want to just dump on Gabriel because I already made him the most surprising player in a bad way. And I, like I said, he's a very nice young man. And yeah. I didn't want to be mean.
Yeah. Let's go with a favorite regular season win.
Oh God, so easy.
Well, since it's so easy.
Start?
Yes, by all means, Gina.
Thursday Night Football against the Saints.
There you go.
That's a slam dunk. Best regular season win by far. Just to, for Sean Payton to be on the sideline making choking motions at Devontae Freeman right before his team chokes and blows it. And then for their fans to cry about officiating on the internet for like weeks afterward. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. It was one of the best days of my life. I sincerely enjoyed it.
There you go. DW, who you got?
I didn't want to go with that one because I figured it'd be a common one. So I went with Falcons versus Panthers, the last game, because it obviously secured the playoff position. But for me, the biggest thing was I felt like that was one of the best defensive performances we've seen out of this unit in the last two years. They were, I think Cam started like 0 for 12 or 0 for 13 that game. And many of those passes were legitimately just fantastic defensive plays. And for me, that was the kind of game I wanted to see from this defense. And it felt like a legitimate defensive shutdown effort.
Yeah, I didn't go with the Thursday night game either. I went with a game that really sort of surprised me because I get everything right all the time. And so when I get things wrong, they sort of stand out in my mind.
Wow.
But I went with the Dallas game in week 10 because at that point in the season, I was ready to like just write off the season, given that the Falcons had lost, what, like three out of the last four or four out of the last five or something like that. So like I went into that game like, oh, Dallas is going to beat the Falcons and the season will be over and now we can just move on to the draft and all that stuff. And then they came out and played as well as they did, and that was sort of my favorite win because I was sitting there on Sunday just being like, oh my God, like where has this Falcon team been for the last month of the season? Like this is amazing. And so that sort of reinvigorated me for the back half of the season where I was a lot more optimistic about this team's chances because I was basically – you know, I was like 8-8 at best at that point once they lost to Carolina. So,
well, and to be fair, I mean, obviously, like, I give you trouble all the time for being negative, but I think that we were all feeling that way at that point of the season. Like, I know that I was. I don't think that that's a stretch to think the way that they had, you know, after the losses to Buffalo and to Miami, especially, my goodness. I don't think that that was an outrageous perspective. So, yeah, that was a really good one, too. Man, they're all good wins. It's hard to pick a favorite one, but.
Yes, it is.
Three solid choices here.
Best individual performance. DW, who do you have?
I'm going to go with Drew Brees' daddy, Deion Jones, in the Falcons win over the Saints.
There
you go.
God, that's beautiful.
He's one of the few linebackers I think that can keep pace with Alvin Kamara, and he showed that. I think he knocked him out in that game, actually.
He did.
Yeah. One of the plays I think that, you know, people pointed to was when he literally chased down Willie Snead for a, you know, basically no gain on just ran all the way across the field. And I think that was a few plays before the infamous, glorious interception of Drew Brees in the end zone. To me, that was, if you want a highlight reel for a single game, for a single player, that was Deion Jones in that game.
Very good choice. Gina, who do you have?
Now, I'm just going to be a little bit petty here. Because as y'all know, as my friends, I made a New Year's resolution to be more petty this year. And it's something I'm really enjoying. So my ex-husband is a Packers fan. And he's also kind of a jackass. And so I'm going to have to say Desmond Trufant against the Packers on Sunday Night Football in week two because he had that scoop and score and he had that pick. And Aaron Rodgers does not do well when he makes those kinds of mistakes. And it was really fun to – I was actually at that game. I went into the locker room, talked to the guys afterward, and talking to the whole defense about that, like everybody was so amped. For true, and it was so much fun. So yeah, I'm gonna go with that particular game because Aaron Rodgers really doesn't make a lot of mistakes, and the defense told me exactly how, like, what Desmond saw and how he did it, and you know what they're coached to do in that situation, and you know I've got an article about it if you guys are interested, but it was very, very interesting to hear, you know, Desmond was like, well, we're coached to stay on top of our guy. So I stayed on top and then, you know, the ball just basically came right to me. I was able to jump the route, whatever. So it was fun to talk to them about that. So I would say that that performance, because I enjoyed talking to the defense about it and because I know that it made my ex-husband very upset. Congratulations, Desmond Trufant. You get the award.
Well, Gina, I'm amazed that you made a resolution to be more petty because I didn't think that was possible. But we'll see.
Listen, there's always room for improvement, Aaron. I can't rest on my laurels. I got to keep getting better. I got to stay on my grind.
Hey, that's what I say every Monday after the Falcons win. So yeah, I get you there. So
I'm gonna get 1% more petty every day.
Okay. For me, I went with Julio's 253-yard gain against the Bucs. I don't think I need to explain why I picked that one. It was a monster performance from Julio. We get like one or two of those a year. So, you know, just basically
yeah, it seems like it.
Pick one of those out of the hat and it's as good as any. Most memorable play. I will start things off and I'll take us all the way back to week one. I was very close to giving this to Deion Jones' interception, but I'm going to go all the way back to week one because no one talks about week one game. And you got to go with Brooks Reed's game-winning sack to get the season started off in the right direction with the win. Closer win than I think a lot of us expected it to be. But that sort of signal the type of season that Brooks Reed could wind up having, where he would eventually become DW's most surprising player. So that was my pick. Gina, who you got?
I am going to go with Deion's interception, just because when I close my eyes, I can still picture every second of it, how high he jumped. I don't even know how he got. He's not even a big guy. Like, he's not all that tall. I can't believe how high he jumped for that. And the way that he came down and he kind of folded in on himself and, like, landed on his back and held on to that ball. And it sealed the game. And I was in a bar and I was literally screaming. It was one of the rare games that I didn't have to work. And so the entire bar, like all of us, we were screaming at the top of our lungs. Like, we could not believe it. It was one of the most amazing plays I've ever seen. So it's for sure that one. Plus, beat the Saints. I mean, I talked so much trash those next few days. It was really a very good feeling.
DW, who you got?
Even though I referenced it earlier, I'm going to go with Gina. It's got to be when Drew Brees' daddy spanked him on national TV. That interception, the way the legs popped up in the air and he fell onto his back and secured that ball. I mean, I'll be honest, that play turned me on. It did.
David, my goodness. David, this is a family podcast.
It really is. You know, we got advertisers and whatnot, so.
You can edit it out.
Now we're going to have to get Viagra and whatnot to be the new sponsor to this podcast.
Well, you don't need Viagra with that play, okay? That's
there
what
you
we're
go.
Trying to say.
There you go.
We're going off the rails.
Moving on. Moving on to a much more family-friendly award.
Yes. Let's move ahead to the Best Hair Award. This was the one offered up by one of our listeners. I believe it was Steve in Brooklyn. I hope I'm not screwing that up. And Best Hair. This, you know, I think a lot of people's mind, oh, of course, it's Brooks Reed. But I think you have a lot of options here on this.
No, it's not Brooks. And if you would have asked me last year, I would have said it's Brooks. It's not.
Who do you got then,
Gina? It's Duke Riley. If you have a bleached mullet, you win by default. Like, that takes guts. And he's got my vote. It's Duke Riley. It's not close. Sorry, Brooks.
DW, who you got?
I only know of one Falcons player whose hair ended up on eBay, and that is Tack McKinley.
See, yeah,
so that's a good call.
When people want to spend thousands of dollars for your hair, you win.
That's fair.
I was, you know, I secretly wanted you guys to go first because I wanted to see who you guys picked, because there were multiple options here. And because you guys went with the two other players that I would have picked had you not picked them, I'll just give Brooks Reed that little head nod for having the best hair, because it is glorious. But Jake Matthews is coming for his title. And so
he's grown out that Matthews hair.
Yeah. So we'll see where Jake is at at the end of 2018. And maybe by a year from now, he might have won that title. So we'll see what happens. Okay. Let's move on to another fan suggested one, the Jacob Tammy Award for the most hated Falcon. Again, another one by Steve in Brooklyn. DW, who do you got for this one?
You know, you touched on it earlier, and I think it's so true, inexplicably, and it is so appropriate that it would be the guy who is replacing Jacob Tammy, and that's Austin Hooper. I don't understand the hatred people have for him, but I've seen many people saying we should move on from a second-year tight end who was arguably, you know, one of the better receivers on our team, so I'm going with Hooper.
Yeah, for me, I was tough trying to pick, do I want someone who's actually hated, or do I want someone who is inexplicably hated like Jacob Tammy was?
Yeah, that was why the Jacob Tammy thing was so hilarious.
Yeah. So
also,
like,
also the fact that we campaigned for him to win it, which we did. I'm very proud of us.
Yeah, so I basically picked Hooper too, but I was trying to figure out, like, who is not hated that I could ironically give this award to. And I think I probably came up with, like, Matt Bosher or something like that.
Well, the only thing that's kind of questionable about Matt Bosher is that he loves that song Despacito. Like, loves it. But other than that, I really have no quarrel with Bosher. You know, I'm going to go in a different direction, and I'm gonna use this opportunity to vent about something that pisses me off legitimately. I know that Matt Ryan did not live up to his MVP status from 2016. Matt Ryan is better than at least 80% of the quarterbacks in the National Football League. Stop talking about moving on from him. Y'all are clinically insane if you think that that's actually an option. I don't know why fans hate Matt Ryan so much. Like, he is the least objectionable person. And so, anyway, Matt Ryan is the one for me. Like, fans talking about, oh, the Falcons shouldn't pay him. You know, they're going to pay him. That's the way the league works. And even this year, I feel like he was still better than, and David is telling me 90%. I was being conservative. Even this year, I think he was better than 80% of the quarterbacks. In 2015, I think he was better than 80% of the quarterbacks in this league. So that's who I'm going to go with.
Good choice. Okay. Yeah, it is 90%. So, yeah. Let's wrap this thing up with our final fan suggested award. I believe this one came from Evan Birchfield. He asked, who is the best celebrity Falcons fan? DW, who you got?
You know, I didn't want to go with Samuel L. since he's sort of the de facto pick. So I'm going with a random name because I love this show. And that is Randy Havens, who was the science teacher, Mr. Clark from Stranger Things. Found out that he is a huge Falcons fan this year. Love Stranger Things. Absolutely adore that show. So for me, he is my favorite, and I don't care what anyone else has to say.
Hey, interesting. Well, I learned something today. I didn't know he was a Falcon fan. Okay. Well, that now I appreciate Stranger Things even more. So that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Gina, who do you have?
So I'm biased because this person is a friend of mine, but Doug Stamper from House of Cards, Michael Kelly, he's a tremendous actor. He has been a lifelong Falcons fan. I first met him at training camp years and years ago. I mean, probably 2012. It's been a long time, and he is just great. Like, he loves this team as much as we all love this team, and so I have to go with Doug Stamper. Plus, you know, his character on House Cards would probably literally kill me if I didn't choose him. So I think that it's probably in my best interest.
Yeah, this was tough for me because I was trying to come up with someone that wasn't Samuel L. Jackson. And I was like, well, I can't come up with...
Oh, there was no way I was picking Samuel L. Jackson.
And it was like, I'm not going to pick any rappers that have debuted since 2004 because they're all, you know, they're all over the place. Like, the Migos are all over the place. With who they, you know, they're Falcon fans, but they're also fans of other teams. I, you know, I saw a picture of them rocking Emmitt Smith jerseys. Like, okay, whatever.
Oh, no.
So, like, you know, like, if I was going to go with a rapper, I would only pick Ludacris because he was the only person I ever heard of that was representing the A way before it became fashionable to talk about being a Falcon fan. So, I'll go with Ludacris. You know, he may not be the most relevant person in hip hop in this day and age, but you know, he's been doing it since the 90s and early 2000s. So, Lucas.
Look, I know that I'm old, but Luda is always going to be relevant.
Well, I would say the same thing, Gina, but I do have to preface it that, you know, I am pretty old too. So whatever.
Now, Aaron, I do feel like you left one category off this list.
Okay.
Best Falcons podcast.
Yeah. So I see now that it was a mistake for me to invite both of you guys on because you can outvote me on this one.
Well, that's okay. I actually have one additional category to add after this. Most frequent Falcons podcast.
Okay, I can definitely win that one.
Yeah. It sure ain't us.
No, it's not. No. Actually, Aaron, I do think that your podcast is wonderful, and I always enjoy being a part of it.
Same. But I'm voting for Rise Up Reader.
Okay, there you go.
Well, I'm voting for the Falcoholic podcast. I'm going to stuff the ballot box on this one. I don't care.
Okay. I hate the guy on that one.
Yeah, he is kind of the worst.
The girl, though, she is pretty good. She knows her stuff.
Yeah.
She's the only thing that saves that show.
You know, my favorite thing about the girl, though, on that podcast is that how easily she can be bossed.
Oh, no.
You maybe you have better to wrap listen it up to quick. That podcast, Aaron.
She just gets bossed all the time by that guy. It's so crazy.
She cannot be bossed. Yeah. She gets bossed, and it does not, like, it rolls right off of her. She cannot be bossed.
There you go.
This is very true.
like water off a duck's back. It just does not happen. No.
Well, guys, I appreciate you guys coming on, having a good time, sharing some laughs with you, talking some of your end awards. I certainly will love to have you guys on at some point during the off season when things pick up, probably in March, and we can actually talk about actual stuff that's going on as opposed to arguing about how much this quarterback or that quarterback should be paid. and that stuff, you know, Matt Ryan's probably not going to sign his contract till August. And so,
right.
You know, people, we got to get these takes off and before, it's not even February. So, you know, got to get these takes off, I guess, 6 months in advance. So
we'll get the takes off and the takes will be hot.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
All right, guys, plug your stuff, plug your Twitter, plug all the things that you want to plug.
David, go for it.
Oh, okay.
go for it.
All right. She's bossing me. You can find me on Twitter at FalcoholicDW and, of course, the Falcoholic Podcast. And if you're into political stuff, we also have a political one. So follow me and Gina for news on that.
And right now I am just full speed ahead with Super Bowl stuff for SB Nation. I have written about a lot of things. My favorite thing that I've written lately is about how Tom Brady has been bitten by two dogs. But they were both very good dogs because I might still be better about Super Bowl 51. Like, I'm not going to confirm or deny. I also have a very important explainer coming about the asteroid that is not going to hit Earth on Super Bowl Sunday. So if you are rooting for an asteroid so you don't have to deal with the Patriots or the Eagles winning a Super Bowl, bad news. It's not going to happen. But yeah, you can go to SB Nation NFL. You can see all my stuff. And I'm on Twitter at Gina Thomas, often arguing with people about politics or posting pictures of my dog. So really, really important stuff there.
There you go. All right, guys. I appreciate it. And hope to talk to you soon.
Thanks, Aaron.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a good night.
You too.
So, guys, that was our awards episode. Appreciate DW and Gina coming on and chatting with me and trying to get some different perspectives, not necessarily having the same answers. I think the only unanimous pick we had was Tack for Rookie of the Year and Tevin Coleman for top backup. So, you know, try to get some different perspectives out there, maybe certain, you know, that make you guys think. Or whatever. I don't know. It's an award show. Whatever. It's award season, Grammy season, Oscars, all that type of stuff. So that's it. And that's probably the final thing that we'll, you know, we'll still talk about 2017, obviously, because what else are we going to talk about for the next 5 months? But, you know, that's sort of the button, I guess, we could put on the 2017 season. You know, we did the year-end wrap-up. We did the positional reviews. And now we just gave our final award. So now it's more of a off-season, looking ahead to 2018, more perspective. We'll still talk about 2017, of course. But, you know, that's me trying to say that we're done with 2017 at this point. But that's not necessarily true. So, in the meantime, if you have additional thoughts or comments or suggestions or you disagree with some of these awards, you really agree with some of them, by all means, get in touch with me. My Twitter handle is at FalcFans. If it's podcast-related, just let me know in the tweet. But if it is podcast-related, it's just easier to go ahead and send it over to Locked On Falcons. That's the show's Twitter handle. If you don't like Twitter character limits, by all means, you can contact via email at LockedOnFalcons@mail.com. There's also the Facebook page, Locked On Falcons. Give us a like while you're there. You can also leave a comment on LockedOnFalcons.com or FalcFans.com, where the show is posted daily. We will get to a Q&A probably next week. I will probably post a mailbag at some point this weekend that won't answer all the questions that you guys have asked in the last couple of weeks, but just get some of the questions out of the way, and then we'll save some of them for a podcast next week. But there have been questions that have sort of been, you know, lingering in my inbox and in my saved tweets list and whatnot for the last couple of weeks. So we'll finally get to those next week. Tomorrow, the plan is we're going to do a Super Bowl preview episode devoted to Sunday's game. If you're into that sort of thing, talking, you know, lending my expertise, my one of a kind expertise, I guess is probably the better way of saying it, to that upcoming matchup, and also getting some insights from other people, perhaps maybe the hosts of Locked On Eagles and Locked On Patriots, who probably have even greater insights and expertise on Sunday's matchup. So that'll be something to look forward to tomorrow, and then we'll be back probably Monday with a rapid reaction to the Super Bowl. Maybe we'll talk about the Alex Smith trade. Why did I make that mistake twice? Alex Smith trade, and sort of how that may affect the offseason, and sort of get the ball rolling on the 2018 offseason by going into those sorts of things and those conversations more as a league-wide than before we focus in on the Falcons. That's the plan, at least right now, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe I'll change my mind between now and Sunday evening. But again, you have all my contact info if you feel the need to say, yes, Aaron, do that, or no, Aaron, don't do that, or Aaron, do this. Yeah. Okay, that's it, guys. I appreciate all you guys listening and tuning in. We will continue to bring you this show, hopefully at least three times a week for the remainder of the off season. Yeah. Okay. I don't have anything else to say. Bye. Talk to you later. Ciao.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I think David may be having trouble unmuting himself, so it's not that he's being particularly quiet. I just don't think that he is able to unmute himself.
Is that true, DW? Oh, wait. I think we did lose him. Hold on a second.
Yeah, he says, I can't. He's talking to us in the chat here. Okay. David, maybe you should hang up and then come back. Yeah, there he goes. So... We're off to a good start. Yeah. Is what we're
saying.
There we go.
Hey, there he is.
Here I am. Sorry about that.
All right. I was like, what is happening?
Okay. Hold on. My dog is 6 months old and he's a lunatic. So he's actually trying to eat my earbuds while they are in my ear. That's very distracting. I imagine so it is. Anyway.